You're listening to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, happy week of All Saints and All Souls. It's also known as the week leading up to the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's get to it. Our first reading from 2 Maccabees. 2 Maccabees. If you do not read or have a Catholic Bible, number one, get one. Number two, you probably won't find 2 Maccabees in it unless you're looking in the Apocrypha. 2 Maccabees, though, is in the canon of sacred scripture, one of the 73 books. 2 Maccabees. It's great reading. It's great fun. Our psalm response from Psalm 17, verse 1, then verses 5 through 6, and verse 8, and verse 15. Our second reading, St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16 through chapter 3, verse 5. And our gospel from St. Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. I mentioned all saints and all souls, and obviously, as we turn our attention to those who have gone before us, then we also have to turn our attention to our own end, our own earthly end, our own quest, and our own hope for heaven. And you're going to hear a lot about that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, because we're ending our liturgical year. And every year in November, our readings and in our Gospels, they always sort of turn their attention to the end times or the end of time. More specifically, the coming glory, the coming judgment, the coming glory, because we're ending our liturgical year. We're leading up to Christ the King. And then in Advent, obviously, we're going to start over our year again. So we start again with the story of the coming Messiah. But I wanted to point that out because oftentimes, if you don't understand the purpose of the readings or the strands of the readings in November, it can seem like a lot of gloom and doom, and a lot of those fearful images of earthquakes and floods and violent deaths and martyrdom and sufferings. And what we always have to do is keep these things in perspective. And these stories aren't preserved in Scripture to scare us into loving God, but to remind us of the love of God, to remind us of the fact that this world is not all there is. There is something more. And that even when we go through hard times on earth, something better awaits us. And we have to be able to endure those hard times. We have to believe that God has a plan for us. In this first reading, you're going to hear a story about a mother and her 7 sons. And these 7 brothers, they're all going to be put to death because they refuse to violate God's law. They won't eat pork. And this is coming in a time with the Maccabees, when there's a great war going on between the Greeks and the Maccabees. And the Greeks want the Maccabees, all the Jews at the time, to live under Greek law and to violate the Jewish law. But the Maccabees, this family of believers and those who followed them, rose up and said, we would rather die than violate God's law. And this is one such story. You have these young men, and they're going to be killed one by one. And as each one is killed, he gives us another truth about God's love, about God's presence, about God's law, and about how they're going to lay down their life, nobly lay down their life, courageously lay down their lives, because they want to serve and love God. And it's a great explanation, a great example, again, not only of martyrdom and of being a true witness for God, of courage, but also of the fact that we are going to go through persecutions on earth. And if we keep our eyes on heaven, those persecutions, they're not going to be fun and they're not going to be painless, but that you can survive them because you want to believe in God's promise, that God makes us a promise that he's going to remain faithful to us because we've been faithful to him. And in the psalm response, Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Again, that looking forward, knowing that your ultimate joy, your ultimate peace can only rest in God. In the second reading to the Thessalonians, Paul is reminding us again about Jesus and about God the Father and about the grace that he gives us and the strength that he gives us when we need it. And he's encouraging us to pray for one another, that as the wicked and perverse people, as he talks about it, want to do harm to us, want to get in the way, that we should be strengthened and we should remain strong, not just in ourselves, but as one community, one family, one body. The same way in that first reading that the family was strengthened by each other's witness, that we can strengthen one another by our weakness. We can endure the hardships. We can endure the suffering. And in the gospel, this is really interesting. Most times people don't understand this gospel reading because they don't understand the Sadducees. The Sadducees and the Pharisees are very different groups of people. Though they both followed the law, what you have to understand about the Sadducees is they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees did. So they're trying to trip Jesus up. And as they're talking to Christ, they're trying to point to, you know, the law of Moses. They're trying to say, look, nowhere in the law of Moses, nowhere in the Torah does it say that the dead are going to rise, the resurrection of the dead. And they were very legalist. They very strictly said, only if it's in the Torah, only if it's written down, am I going to believe it? And Jesus, who obviously does believe in the resurrection and teaches the resurrection, turns the tables on them. And in doing so, he even points to and compares us when we're glorified, when we live in heaven, compares us to angels, which, by the way, Sadducees also did not believe in, nor did they believe in spirits. So what's great here is that we're given an example of Jesus. He not only does he say there's resurrection from the dead, he reminds us and he emphatically teaches that there is. But there's also something interesting here. The Sadducees only believed what was in the book. And Jesus is giving us an incredible example here that everything we need to know about God is not necessarily written down. And the same way in which the Sadducees say it has to be on paper, I'm not going to believe it, there are a lot of Christians in the world who only believe what's in the Bible. But they don't necessarily believe in the living oral tradition of Christ's church, the living oral tradition of what Christ taught and spoke and what was carried on in the early apostolic communities. This is a great example. Again, this is one of the reasons it's so great to be Catholic, that we're going to believe in the fullness of tradition, both written and oral, what was passed on by other people. And again, if it wasn't for that oral tradition and for the church, we wouldn't even have Maccabees in our Catholic Bible. It's a great celebration this week for all the martyrs. Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of our church. For all those martyrs, those saints, those angels we've been celebrating in All Saints, is a great time to thank God for all those brothers and sisters who have gone before us, who have been martyred before us, who believed in God's promise well beyond what was written down, because they believed that God's promise is alive and well in the church. And my brothers and my sisters, as you face suffering and as you face possible martyrdom socially, hopefully not physically, you can always rest assured that God promised you eternal life. He will be faithful to you as long as we are faithful to him and to his life that exists in his church. If you need to reconcile this week, it's a great time to do it. Let's live in God's grace and believe that you will live in his glory. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.